Hey, greetings. This is Brother Tupos, StonePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day today. We just arrived in a new town. We're in our next town for our street preach coming up, a big, big event this weekend. Wanted to do this teaching audio. Sinning against a brother, then reconciling. Sinning against a brother, then reconciling. Yeah, I want to talk about this because I recently dealt with this issue with two men. And it's come up in the past quite a bit. And I thought that I would address it. Now, we all understand that we are fallen humans. None of us are perfect. And even though we try hard as born-again saints to serve God in holiness, there are going to be times that we either make mistakes or we fall or choose sin. Yeah, it happens. We see it all over the scriptures. We see it in people's lives. And oftentimes our sin goes against others in the body, whether it be sister to sister or brother to brother. This is a case of brothers. And so I want to talk about this. First, let me give you a brief description of the situation that I had. There was two families that we were briefly united to, and they had come out of a false religious body, the Hutterites. And we all started fellowshipping, and we all seemed to agree on doctrine and the gospel, and things were going awesome. Things were going great, very short-lived, but it was awesome. It was great. And I did have with the one, it was a father and son. I'll just say that, it was father and son. And with the son, the younger man, I did have various issues in the time that I was with him where there was pride that got involved and sometimes some false teaching that he was doing. And then he had to be corrected and it took a long time for him to see it in a battle and a fight. And then he had to repent of it. And there was all kinds of situations like that. So some of the trust was already a little bit frazzled because of that happening over and over. But he would repent, we'd forgive him, we'd keep going. Well, it came to this one situation where both of them decided to be partial and defend the body, the Hutterites that they left, and decide to not expose some sin that was going on in the Hutterites or potential sin. And both the father and the son, the father got mad at me when I wanted to expose it, and hung up the phone on me, basically breaking ties with me. And then when I brought it up to the son, he pretty much made excuses and said, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to expose, you know, everything? Or what good is it going to do? And he made excuses and he defended them. And it got really, really ugly. And this all took place in one day. And I said, men, don't do this. I said, you are siding with the enemy. Don't do this. I can't walk with people that would do this. Well, guess what? They doubled down and said, nope, that's where we're standing. And I said, I can't walk with you if you're going to be partial and defend the enemy. And I said, I'm going to part ways until you change your mind. We stopped communicating on a messenger forum, and I said, email me, we can talk about it there. Well, it never got to that. It got ugly, meaning the communication was just them defending their partiality, or the son anyway. The father didn't have nothing to say. He ran off in the dark. And the son was just defending his partiality. And I parted ways and said, I can't walk with you. I made a decision. And you know, that was 5 or 6 weeks ago, and my decision, the Spirit gave me, I know I was led by the Spirit to do it, had to be the right one, because it's been 5 or 6 weeks and they still haven't repented of their partiality defending this false group. But let me throw this in there. The son, about 2 weeks ago, repented and wrote a blog on his blog post. He repented and said he was in sin and he was partial and he's not going to do that anymore. And he called out the Hutterites for a whole bunch of stuff, including the one sin or the potential sin where a man died. I won't go into that story. There was drinking and a man died and some question of how he died. He even covered that. But you know what? He didn't come to the people he sinned against, the people he was in fellowship with, and he didn't repent and ask to be forgiven for the destruction that was caused. I was called being a basher, and I was called being attacking the Hutterites, all that type of thing, when that just wasn't the case. So that gives you a little bit of the backstory. And we are not united today because there's been no reconciliation. Now that's a good place for me to leave it right there. The Bible talks about this issue of reconciliation. You know, our heart, my heart would be to reconcile with people that are repentive and get things right for the Lord and want to have biblical fellowship. The problem is when people hold on to their sin and they do the same sin over and over, being untrustworthy, being prideful, being partial, now there becomes a trust issue and sometimes you can't go back. And maybe years and years down the road, if everybody grows a lot and they mature, these people are novices in the faith, maybe there could be some potential, but that only the Lord knows that. Only the Lord knows that. So reconciliation, the Bible talks about that, and it needs to be addressed for the glory of God. Why does God want that? Well, he wants to be glorified. He wants his body to be glorified. He wants his children to walk in holiness and purity. And why does a little bit of sin, like this partiality that was left wide open, and unfair treatment, and lying, calling names that aren't true, why is that critical? Well, Paul says a little bit of leaven affects much. Galatians 5:9, that's sin. Leaven would be sin. And just from this story, I can tell you, but you know what? I've been in ministry a long time. I've had lots of relationships and seen lots of people's relationships destroyed by a little bit of sin. It doesn't take much sin. You know, I always tell people rat poison is only 5% poison. The rest of it is protein. It don't take much sin to destroy relationships, unity, fellowship in the body. That's why Paul always dealt with it and put people out, like in 1 Corinthians 5 or in 2 Thessalonians 3, many places. He said, don't put up with sin in the body because it's leaven. But Jesus himself addresses this. Let's talk about it in a couple places, and that's where I want to go. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Wherefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy have aught against thy, a brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer the gift. Did you catch that? Yeah. Going to an altar back then was like going before God. So it could be prayer. It could be offering your sacrifice. Back then they did sacrifices. But basically Jesus is saying, fix your relationship with your brother before you try to go to God. That's the priority he puts on it. Very, very important. So from this verse, we can see that Christ is commanding us to go and be reconciled with brothers first. Again, that could be over prayer. That could be over our service, going out witnessing, anything like that. That needs to be put on hold until we reconcile with a brother. These people I'm talking about didn't care to do this one bit. And it's very, very sad. So we aren't to have brotherly issues among the body. We're supposed to work for perfect unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says that we all speak the same things, be in one mind, perfectly united. That wasn't happening with this partiality, pride, sin, lying, everything that went on there. How can you have unity in that? So God makes it a priority. And Jesus said that his people will be known to the world by how they love each other. How can we love each other and be of God if we sin against each other willfully and we won't repent to that person? That young man I'm telling you about, he went and basically repented on his blog and said, I was partial and in sin, I should have done this. He never came to the people that he betrayed, basically. Yeah, it was like a Judas type of act. These people were wicked enemies, doing, saying nasty things as we were battling against them spiritually and in truth, and they go and side with them, and then didn't repent of it, and didn't come back and ask for forgiveness. Well, I'm going to talk about, how are you supposed to be reconciled? Well, this young man said to me, what, am I supposed to come and repent to you? Well, let's talk about that. How are we to be reconciled with a brother? The party that has sinned needs to first come to the place where they see that they have sinned, and they need to be willing to turn away from it. That's the first place. That's called repentance. And then they need to be cleansed by Christ. That's the number one thing. I don't forgive people's sin to go to heaven. Christ needs to cleanse you. That's the most important thing. So they need to go and cry out to God and be cleansed and forgiven before Christ. Most people want to just leave it there after they've gone to God and said, okay, God forgive me, Jesus forgives me, I'm good to go, let's move on. But that's not what Jesus teaches us. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We need to repent, not only to God, but to those that we have sinned against. Yeah, let's go there. Luke 17, 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Okay, so that's verse 3. If he sins, rebuke. That's what I did with these men. They didn't like it when I rebuked them. See, when you rebuke someone that loves the truth, they love you. When you rebuke a scorner, they hate you. That's what it says in Proverbs. If somebody wants to be godly, biblical, and holy, they love a good rebuke. If people want to be wicked and live in their sin, they hate you for the rebuke. That's what happened between us and these men. The biblical step is to rebuke the brother when he sins. And then if he'll see it, he'll own it, he'll confess it. Yeah, he goes before God. He should repent of it to you. Ready? Jesus goes on. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times a day and 7 times in a day, turns again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So he sins against you. He comes to you and he says, I repent. Now, we know we don't get forgiveness at the hands of men, so no one's going to get my forgiveness for salvation. But people that sinned against you should come to you and say, I've repented to God about that sin, and deal with it with you. Why? So you can get back into fellowship and unity. If the brother sins on and on, but he comes to himself and he repents, we're supposed to forgive. I get it. 7 times 70. I'm willing to do that. I did it with this young man. We all did it with this young man many, many times. That's the process by which we can keep the body in unity, have good relationships, purity, keep it on track for the Lord, not allowing any sin to remain in, unanswered. And here's the key. Don't let it go on for very long. It's been weeks and weeks already. There's been so much that has festered over these weeks. No, you need to pray about it and deal with your sin quickly. And if a man won't repent, we know what Jesus said. Go read Matthew 18. Put him out like a publican. Treat him like a publican if he won't repent. That's what I did with these men. I told them, I won't have fellowship with you. And I put him out from my house and my association and people that I was associated with. And they didn't like that. They took offense to it rather than realizing why their sin, or realizing that their sin had caused this. Yeah, again, only later did he repent of that sin, but he hasn't come back to the people he sinned against. So yeah, they repent, you forgive them, you move on. If they won't repent, you put them out of the body till they do. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul puts a man out of the body. 2 Thess 3, Romans 16, 17 says, mark and avoid those that are in sin and false doctrine. And the sad thing I've learned is most people just like to brush their sin under the table, or they act out in partiality. They make excuses for it, just like the men in the story did. You won't find one verse in the Bible, saints and seekers, if you're listening, that ever defends any sin, not one. The truth is, we are supposed to walk in a brotherhood that's built on trust and holiness and obedience and unity. And that can't be built if men sin on and on and on and won't face it, won't repent of it, won't correct it. Just as sin separates us from God, hear me here. Just as sin separates us from God, sin separates us from the people of God. You don't think that's true? 1 Timothy 6:35, I already gave you all the verses where Paul talks about separating, or the Bible talks about separating. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, and look up my articles under biblical separation. I list a whole bunch of verses, but here's one. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. And if any man teach otherwise and not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, so partiality God hates, right? That's the sin that we're talking about here with these men. It says he's proud. Yeah, they had pride. Knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Yeah, doesn't say hang out with them. Doesn't say go to church with them. Doesn't say sing and pray with them. Withdraw yourself from them. So that's what happens when sin comes into a body. It's not addressed. People don't, they may cry out to God and say, I repented to God, but they don't come back to fix the relationships. Okay, it's like a man, it's like a man who has a mistress and he decides to repent and put the mistress away, but he never comes to his wife and makes it right with his wife. He might be right with God, but he hasn't made it right with his wife. Guess what? According to these verses I've given you, she would be a sister, talking about Christians here. He needs to go and fix that relationship before he goes before God. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. So, last thought on this teaching. While it's good and biblical that a man repents after any sin, and we know the well of God's forgiveness is deep, 7 times 70, far as the east is from the west, we know all that. But if a man keeps on sinning, especially the same sin, over and over, and that's what we saw. We saw pride, we saw lies, we saw partiality over and over and over. What it can cause is mistrust in the body. And we always forgive repentant people. We forgive everybody, but we forgive repentant people. I get it. I know we're supposed to do that. But that does not mean we trust them or we're ever going to have a relationship or the same relationship with them again because of their bad track record. Ready? I can prove it in Scripture. Apostle Paul with Barnabas, Acts 15:37-39. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Yeah, Paul and Barnabas were going to visit bodies and go do ministry. Barnabas wanted to take this John Mark, and Paul said, no, I don't trust him. Got a bad track record. Barnabas said, nope, I'm taking him. They separated. That's Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle Paul who met with Jesus. He drew the line on trust. I will draw the line on trust. That's my example. Paul and Jesus are my example. So we must draw the line on trust. Let that be a lesson to all of us in both our lives, how we live, not keeping sin, not keeping the same sins, right? It's like the boy crying wolf. If you keep the same sin all the time and you keep crying repentance and you keep doing the same sin, it's like the boy crying wolf. Pretty soon nobody believes you. Yeah, we gotta overcome our sin. We gotta forsake our sin. If we repent of a sin and we keep doing it, have we really repented of it? No, we haven't. So if you and I strive and want to be trusted and want to have close relationships with other true saints, we should strive to keep our sin at a minimum, of course. Jesus said, be ye perfect, right? Matthew 5:48. Otherwise, we defame the Lord, the body, and we ruin relationships. We don't keep going on in sin. It harms the body life, and you know what? It could end up costing you your soul. Go read Hebrews 10:26. If you keep willful sin, there's no sacrifice left for your sins. I got lots of articles on that too at the teaching blog. So I hope that encourages you, saints, seekers, if you're listening, brothers and sisters, make sure that your relationships are in line with God's word. Don't be like the men I spoke of that destroyed relationships and destroyed fellowship in the body because of partiality and their unwillingness to humble themselves, admit they were wrong, forsake their ways, ask for forgiveness, and then try to move on somehow. No, that's all water under the bridge now. I hope and pray that they strive on, no matter what. I hope they learn from their lessons. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. If they never come back and repent for that destruction, you really got to wonder, where's their heart really at? Sometimes I wonder, these people that claim they're born again, sometimes I wonder if they truly are. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And also, we know that he said, the world, the fruit will be, the world will see our love for each other. I'll tell you what, I didn't feel much love coming out of that whatsoever. We do love them. We hope they do come to repentance. God is a God of reconciliation. We should always work to reconcile with him through Christ, the gospel. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. And we should also be reconciling with others that we've walked with. And if we've sinned against others, we shouldn't be able to sleep at night until we make it right. We shouldn't be taking our gift to the altar, and today we don't go to altars. We shouldn't be going to God in prayer and in ministry and in witnessing. Well, we got issues with a brother or sister that we've trampled the blood of Christ. We've thrown godly people to the curb. We've been partial because of we're fearful of men. Yeah, there's a lot of sin taking place in this case that I told you about. Always be ready to seek reconciliation, whether it's your sin or someone else's sin, and keep it from destroying the body life. And always be ready to separate from unrepentant sinners to keep your house, your body, your life pure. Last verse, James 1 says, perfect religion is taking care of widows and orphans and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Yeah, people that sin and won't repent, they're acting like the world. We want to make sure that we keep ourselves pure from people like that. So I hope that's been a blessing to you. Ponder that. Reconciling with a brother or sister, could be either one. Make sure that you are going before the Lord in holiness and purity, and that you've given attention to all your relationships that you should. And you go and seek reconciliation for the glory of God. Hey, I love you all. I hope you strive on in the gospel. We are preaching the gospel every day, getting ready for a big event. Thankful to be able to shine the light of Christ in this dark, dark world. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. God be praised.